Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Charlie Stecker, and I am going to be your host this evening, and I'm looking forward to doing that. Every Wednesday night, along with Monday and Friday nights, are special guest nights. And most of the time on Wednesdays, you'll find me as the host. And just to give some people some insight on how these work, when we have a special guest night, the show is based around our special guest and their story, and what they want to share from it and about it. And I do ask that our panel members, when you call in, would be kind enough to be able to keep your questions and your insights focused around our special guest story, because, again, this is their night. We do invite you, if you'd like to be a special guest, to share your story with us. We definitely are looking for special guests to be on our shows, and you're welcome to reach out to NAFTA for that purpose. Now, for those who aren't familiar with how we also work it, if you are on our panel, which means if you have called in, and if you want to call in, the call-in number for the panel is 646-595-2118. If you want to call in, you're welcome to call in to become a part of the panel. And about every 15 or 20 minutes during the show, we will ask our special guests if they can go around with the panel, and the panel will come on, and you'll, again, ask questions, give insight around what our special guest is talking about with their story. Again, this is a very special night for our special guest this evening, who I will be introducing shortly. Again, if you're listening and you want to call in and become a panelist on the show, that call-in number is 646-595-2118. Definitely invite you. If you're, maybe you're not, you've never called into a show before and you're a little concerned, you're a little on edge about it, call in anyway. And, excuse me, let my co-host know that you just want to listen, and they'll make a note to me, and then I'll just leave you there. If you can break that ice, that maybe you're worried about jumping over that, you know, that hurdle. But if you're just listening and you're wondering if you're a member of this NAFTA family, well, let me tell you what. If you're listening, you are. So welcome, brother or sister. You are part of our family. We are happy to have you here. Whether you're listening today live with us or in the future, on one of our archives. So with all that being said, let me go ahead and start introducing our panelists. And before I actually do that, I do have to give a very special shout out to someone very special to NAFTA, the matriarch in NAFTA. And I'm hoping that she's somewhere nearby, or maybe she'll be listening to this. But none other than Christina Murray. Yesterday was the anniversary of the day she was born, and I definitely wanted to give her a personal on-air happy anniversary. Enjoy many, many, many more years. Thank you for all the love and support that you have given Bill throughout the many years of NAFTA, and we are truly blessed to have you in our family supporting our founder, Bill, and his efforts. And we know without you being there, Bill more than likely wouldn't be where he is today. So thank you very much, Christina. Happy anniversary of the day you were born. And with that, let me bring in our panelists. First, I'm actually going to bring in Bill. He is the first one in line here. And so, Bill, good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Charlie.
Bill, I can't hear you. I don't know what's going on. Bill, I'm going to – oh, looks like Bill dropped off. Okay. Well, we're going to go to our next panelist, who is Joe. Oh, nope, maybe Bill's back. Let's go to Joe. Joe from Oregon, welcome and good evening.
Hi, Charlie. How you doing?
Good, good. It looks like Bill might be having some technical difficulties. I'm not sure what's going on his end, but we'll get him back on here when he calls back in.
Well, it looks like he's
back. Okay, that is him up there? Okay.
Yep.
Well, Joe, good evening. Okay. Part of the panel.
Thank
you for being willing to step in once again and fill in the gap when needed.
Thank you. All righty.
Love you to life, sis. Okay, now we're going to head back to Bill out there, down there in sunny Florida. Bill, you are back.
Yeah, thanks, Bill? Charlie. I don't know. As soon as I said hello, I got dropped. Anyway, I was telling you that Christina was coming over to the phone at the moment, the first time I called. Here she comes again. And I did tell her that you had given her a happy birthday welcome. Here she is. Go ahead.
Thank you very much,
hey.
Charlie.
You're very
yes,
welcome, and happy birthday to you. A day late for you, but happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. So what are you, 29
Woo-hoo.
Again?
Again?
Yes, 29.
Well, happy birthday. Enjoy your day. And thank you so much for all the love and support you give Bill that helps keep NASCA up and running each day.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Bye.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Bill, thank you for that. Thank you for being Christina. Christina, for our listeners, is the matriarch of NASCA. And yesterday was the anniversary of the day she was born. And I wanted to make sure I gave her an extra special welcome, especially we're living right now in these COVID times. We're not able to get our loved ones and family around us and maybe do some of the things we want to do with our friends. So thanks, Bill. Thanks for bringing Christina to the phone.
You're quite welcome.
All right. Let me get the rest of our panel introduced so we can get our special guests. Thanks, Bill. All right. Next, we're going to go to Bobby out of Florida. Hey, Bobby, good evening and welcome, brother.
Hi,
folks,
Charlie.
There are times when Bobby – hey, there he is.
Hi,
good
Charlie.
Evening, and welcome. Glad to have you on the panel, buddy.
Yes, I think the same.
All right. Well, we will come back to you when we do a round, the next first round of the panel. I just wanted to say good evening, Bobby. Thank you for being here. Next, we're heading to Penelope from Washington State. Good evening, Penelope, and welcome.
Good evening, Charlie. I'm really looking forward to the show tonight, and I'd like to add a request, birthday songs for the ambassadors on their birthdays if they call into the show on the piano. I just happen to know that Joe and I are both November, so heads up. What a wonderful tribute to Mrs. Murray,
thank
by the way.
Well, I do, and I'm a November baby myself, so I hear you. If I trace back my 9 months, I'm thinking I'm a Valentine's Day baby, but anyway, we'll save that for another show. So. Welcome, Penelope. Thank you for being here and being part of our panel.
Thank you.
And next, we're going to head up to our northern country neighbor above us, Canada, and we have Ekaterina with us this evening. Good evening, Ekaterina.
Hi, Charlie. Good evening. It's good to be on. And happy birthday, Christina. You sound like a beautiful soul. I'm really excited for tonight's show, so I'm just going to be tuning in and listening closely.
Well, thank you, and as always, we appreciate you being here. Now, before I do bring in our special guest, let me give you a little background on who it is and what she's about. So tonight's special guest is Tracy Maxfield. She's a registered nurse from British Columbia, Canada. She said that she's had a very interesting life story, which included childhood abuse, clinical depression, workplace bullying, and suicide attempts. In her first book, Escaping the Rabbit Hole, she talks about her journey through depression. The book has received international rave reviews. She says that she's been to hell and made it out alive. She can show that despite experiencing horrific child abuse, you can have a good life. That even after falling down the rabbit hole, you can heal and move forward on a new life journey that is better than you could imagine. She experienced her first episode of clinical depression in her 20s and has lived with chronic depression ever since. However, nothing prepared her for the acute episode she experienced in 2015. After enduring years of intense workplace stress, harassment, and bullying, she plummeted into an abyss of darkness, hopelessness, and despair, the likes of which she had never experienced before. Encouraged to write by a psychologist, Tracy began to heal and found out that out of the darkness and despair, there is hope. There is life after depression. She has become a staunch advocate for mental illness and mental health awareness and bullying. She has met with teenagers aged 11 to 15 years to talk about bullying and mental illness. Tracy has made a commitment to make a difference in the world. Her philosophy is to engage children and teenagers to educate them about mental illness and bullying, along with empowering them to develop confidence and skills to continue to move ahead in their own life journey. Folks, tonight I will be bringing on Tracy Maxfield here in one moment. I just want to encourage you, if you are listening and you want to call in and be a member of our panel, please call in 646-595-2118. And as I see, we actually added a panel member as I was getting ready to bring Tracy in. So, Tracy, thank you for your patience. I am going to introduce our latest panel member, Deborah Hunt out of Arizona. She's also a host for the show periodically. Good evening, Deborah, and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for letting me be here. I'm looking forward to what Tracy has to say. It's a very intriguing conversation that I think we need to have a lot more about. So thank you for letting me be here.
Well, thank you for being here and calling in. As always, memberships, I love your life. Okay. Well, Tracy, you have been so patient, so graceful, and I truly appreciate that. So let's get you on air. Good evening, Tracy Maxfield. How are you? This is Charlie.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. We should make a commercial.
Okay. Okay. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here this evening. And I don't know if you caught much of earlier, but
yes,
as our special guest.
Yeah, I've listened from the beginning.
Okay. So as our special guest, you know, we have a kind of a framework, but sometimes our special guest wants to go in the directions they want to go. So if you need some direction as to where how to go, I can guide you. If you already have yourself ready, you just let me know.
No, actually, I was on the show a year ago, so I know how the flow goes. Yeah. So, let's go.
Well, let's go. Let's do it. So where are we headed first?
I'm sorry?
Where are we headed first? Do we want to talk? What do you want to talk about this evening? This is your hour and a half. What is it that you want to bring out and you want to make sure people know tonight? Do you want to talk about your story? You want to talk from beginning to end? Do you want to talk about pieces of it? Where you are today? It's up to you.
Actually, because I actually related my story in detail the last time, I think we can catch up from the work that I'm doing now and also the podcast that I've just started, which incidentally has Bill on tomorrow, talking about child abuse. Yeah, and I also, Lisa's on my podcast and Bailey. So we could go in that direction and we can bring in my childhood abuse and what I've learned as a result of my depression, which was related to my abuse, what I'm doing now to kind of create awareness.
Well, wonderful. And by the way, folks, if you want, just as a side note here, not meant to be a side note, but if you weren't aware, it is April, it is Child Abuse Prevention and Intervention and Awareness Month.
It is. That's why I have Bill on tomorrow. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Tracy, let's hear it. I mean, I guess the first thing I saw when I read your biography here, you have a book called Escaping the Rabbit Hole, Your Journey Through Depression.
That's right, yes. Question, and I'll go with it. Go with the flow.
Okay. So how does one – well, first of all, what we have a general idea what inspired the book, Your Journey Through Depression, obviously. But what really drove you to get that book out there? Because a lot of people think they have a book, and a lot of people have a book in them, but they don't take that next step. So what got you to actually take what was in your mind and put it on paper and then get it published out there?
So I'm a nurse. I actually just retired December 31st. But as a nurse, when I experienced the depression, I must be honest, I did not realize it was depression for the first day, because I had so many physical effects as well. And it wasn't until I had made my first suicide attempt 48 hours after falling down the rabbit hole did I realize I was in serious trouble. With my previous episodes of depression in my 20s and then late 30s, I'd never had the suicide ideation or the physical pain. And when I say I was in hell, it was because this depression was unlike any other type that I'd experienced. And as a nurse, I'm trying to make sense of everything. And I couldn't understand why I was not getting better. I was taking medications. I was going for counseling every 2 weeks. I was journaling. I was exercising. I was trying to do everything possible to get me into a healthy routine to facilitate healing. And every time I'd go and see my psychologist, he would say, Tracy, you have to imagine that your brain is made of glass and it's been fractured into a million pieces. And we're trying to put those pieces back together, and it's going to take a long time. And I would go and I'd say, you know, everyone, no one believes I have depression. They see me and, you know, they're like, oh, you must have a mild version. And I was getting frustrated. And he said, why don't you start writing a blog? Tell people exactly what you're going through, what it's like, and see if that helps. And so after much hesitation, it took me a while because I was scared because I was going to open up my heart and soul. And when I did that first entry, it felt very cathartic. And immediately after I posted it, I got many positive comments. First of all, the apologies going, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize it was that bad. But I had comments saying, oh my goodness, I didn't realize you should put this in a book. And I kind of poo-pooed it for a while, but every time I made an entry, I would get, this has to go in a book. And so it was finally after about 6 months that I decided, you know what, I don't want anyone else to go through what I'm going through and think that they're on their own, they're alone, and that they're not going to get through this. And so that's really the catalyst for why the book became Escaping the Rabbit Hole, My Journey Through Depression. When I made the decision that it needed, that I wanted it to become a book, I was very fortunate that I found an editor in Toronto, in Canada. And 6 months later, the book was released.
Wonderful. Now, how does one obtain a copy of this book? Is it on Amazon? Is it on Barnes & Noble? Where can I get a copy?
So the book is on Amazon. It's also in Barnes & Noble. In fact, it can be ordered at any bookstore. It's also on Audible, and it's in Kindle. I recorded the book a couple of weeks after the initial paperback was released. And it's funny because it's very, very popular on Audible. I didn't realize how much people actually liked audiobooks. And so you actually get a Canadian Welsh accent reading my story.
Well, that's wonderful. So it's you reading your story then?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. I would definitely, and I'm an audiobook person myself, so I would definitely be going on there and checking it out and getting a copy and listening. Besides, I think you have a wonderful accent, although we all have accents depending on where we're from, right? Different dialects and the way our voice comes out. So
I think that's what makes
wonderful, and Absolutely, that and many other things, but absolutely,
yeah.
You know. And so what? So when you did your, you talked about your depression and driven to start journaling, and then this created a system of notes for you that you then were able to put into a book, and
yeah.
That book is now out, available, folks. The name of the book, again, for those that might want to check it out, Escaping the Rabbit Hole, subtitle, My Journey Through Depression.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. And Tracy Maxfield, Maxfield. So please, check it out. Get yourself a copy. Maybe get a couple copies. Pass one on to a friend. I'm definitely going to be grabbing one. So, yeah, you said something. Well, it's in your biography I read, Tracy, and you also said something as you were speaking. You and I and several of our NASA family members belong to the same losers club. What do you mean, losers? Well, we failed at taking our own lives. So if there was one area I was going to fail in, I'm glad that's the area. And I'm glad the same for you. You're still here with us. So, thank you.
And I think what's scary is after the book was released, I was invited to a school, a middle school, to talk to teenagers. And that's kind of what started me on the journey, because I didn't realize how many kids in the world, this is not just an American or a Canadian issue, it's global, how many kids were going through such horrors, and, you know, mental illness, bullying, suicide. And the more you talk about it with them, I always believe in a behavior is an expression of an unmet need. And when they started talking about what was going on in their life, how many of them are living in abusive situations, you know, physical, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. And I think that's what kind of started me on the path to try and educate people to understand that when a child is, or a teenager is through something, you have to understand that's not normal development. If they're, you know, exhibiting really strange behaviors or attitudes, or they're withdrawn and sullen, or they're harming themselves or suicidal, you really have to look at what is going on in their lives. And there were so many factors that contributed to the child bullying or having a mental illness. You know, it was foster care, it was drug addiction, it was neglect, it was abuse. And that's why I kind of started on this path back in 2017. And I, you know, every year I keep doing more and more to try and, as I said, engage, educate, empower, which has led to my podcast, which was released in March. And as I said, I'm very honored that Bill Murray is actually going to be showcased tomorrow on the podcast in recognition of Child Abuse Awareness Month.
And we're excited to know that too. And how can folks find your podcast? Is there a site or something we could put on our website if it's not already there?
Yeah, so my podcast is carried on YouTube and on Facebook. And it's also on Podbean. And it's then affiliated with 21 other host sites. So it's all over social media. But if you go into iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Castro, Himalaya, you name them, I'm on them all because I wanted it to be so global. And they just enter search, engage, educate, empower, and the podcast will come up. And I felt it was very important that Bill shared his story, because the aim of the podcast is not only to help educate others about what a child could be going through, but also it's to create an awareness that they may have some unresolved issues in their life that they've carried for a long, long time, and that it's, you know, they need support and help as well, because we know that, I mean, I came from a very abusive background with my parents, but when I look into what they went through when they were children, I can see how it's been carried on generation to generation. And I think what we're trying to do is stop that, you know, just stop
mm-hmm.
that. And so you know, my podcast covers everything. It's not solely concentrating on bullying and mental illness. It goes through everything that a child or teenager or young adult has to deal with, may have to deal with, and how we can help them and how we can help ourselves too. And so I'm very fortunate because Lisa Zarcone, she's on in June, because Lisa has a very, very different story to share, but it's something that kids need to hear. And then in the fall, Bailey's on. And again, everyone has a slightly different story, but what they are going to share, I feel, is going to be so empowering and helpful for those listening.
Absolutely. And I happen to know Lisa, and I know Bailey, so and of course I know Bill, so I'm connected with everybody you're mentioning so far. Amazing work you're doing. I mean, just a little bit we've read, and like you said, when was the last time you were on, Tracy, on the show, so I can refer to our listeners if they want to go back. Do you recall roughly when it was?
I'm sorry, I'm in Canada, so it's hazy at times. Can you repeat the question?
No problem. Do you recall when the last time you were on our show was?
So I was on in May of 2019.
Wonderful. Okay. So we'll go back and we'll find folks. What you're listening to tonight, just so if you're calling, you're listening in, you're trying to figure out what's going on, and it's special guests and use a certain routine. Tracy has in the past been on the show, and she has shared her story from childhood to where she was at that time last year in May of 2019. So you're welcome to go back into our archives and look for Tracy, and you can get her story from the beginning of her childhood. But tonight we are venturing on from where she is today and what she's doing, and excited to hear. And Tracy, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat here, wanting to go ahead and do a round with the panel, if that's okay with you.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
That they can each interact with you. Is that okay?
Well, please do.
I'm going to introduce. Absolutely. Well, the first person I'm going to bring in, it sounds like you're going to be spending some time with him tomorrow evening, and of course, that's none other than our founder and patriarch of NASCA, Bill Murray himself. Bill, you're on with Tracy.
Hey, Bill.
Thanks,
hey, Bill,
Charlie.
I'm
doing great, Tracy, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. And show, of course, was pre-recorded, so I know what it's got on it. I hope people will listen tomorrow for you. And I was delighted to, contribute in any way I can.
Oh, I was absolutely thrilled to have you on because, as I said earlier, having different perspectives and different stories really resonates with people. And I think it reflects that we're not alone and we are all in this together. And that's important.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I'm very much engaged, as you well know, in that being sort of the mission of my life. And so
yes,
I appreciate anybody that's on a similar mission, and I support you in everything you do. I want to also thank Christine and myself. Let me just quickly say, it's really important for us as survivors to have people who are normies, people who she didn't have trauma in her past. She's got it now because she's been living with me. But it's really important for us to have supporters. And there are supporters in NASCA. We want people to know that. We relish, their participation. So thank you again,
absolutely,
Tracy. Appreciate you being here tonight.
Most welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you. And this wonderful idea of NAFTA that was planted in your mind that you watched grow, and that many of us have been with you as it goes along. And even the newest member, maybe you've never called in and asked, maybe you've never heard of it, and you want to know what it's about. Well, I'm going to encourage you to go to NASCA.org. Check out our website. Look in there. There's phone numbers in there. Many of us, including myself, have our personal numbers in there. You're welcome to call us. A lot of us are available 24/7 if you need some help with anything or just somebody to talk to or talk with. So with that, I'm going to bring on our next panelist, Joe, normally my co-host tonight, Bill is. But Joe from Oregon, good evening and welcome back, sis.
Hi, Joe. Thank you. Hi, Tracy. Thank you so much for sharing. And
I obviously missed your appearance last year, so I'll have to go listen to it. But I was curious about since you have been in therapy for a while, and then mm-hmm. that's when the bottom dropped out, right? When you went down the rabbit hole, because sounded similar to what happened to me, and I was wondering. How were you able to continue going to the therapy sessions even though you were in this dark place?
So I recognized that I was in imminent danger. Never ever in my life before had I actually planned and attempted to end my life. And it was surreal I counted the pills, I put them to my mouth, I went to take the first one, and a voice in my ear, my left ear, said, run. And I did. If I hadn't obeyed, I would not be here. But it scared, it really scared me, because as you know, when you're dealing with any mental illness, but especially when you're in the clutches of that depression, suicide is not the easy way out. It's the way to end the pain. The pain which mm-hmm. is so excruciating mm-hmm. and overwhelming, and you do not see a light. You feel no hope. And it scared me. It scared mm-hmm. me. And of course it was not the first. And I knew that I had the nurse brain of course you need therapy. You're taking medications. They're only going to help you a little bit. You have to do therapy. It was difficult because some days I could just about summon up the courage to get there, and I would sit on his sofa absolutely deflated and, very monosyllables. And he was awesome, and he would, it was that gentle probing of, how are you feeling today? Every time I'd go in, I'd have to mark down out of 10 how I felt. And it was like 1, one or 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd mm-hmm. say, okay, you're not doing good today. Okay, what has happened? What has happened today? What has happened in the past week? And I think it was just his encouragement. He actually ended up writing the intro to my book. Yes, because he got to know me so well and enabled me that safe place to start really opening up. And it was hard. Initially, I saw him every week. Then it went every 2 weeks. Then it was like nearly 18 months that I got to monthly visits. And he saw potential in me that I didn't. It was that voice in your head that says to you, I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I have to pull on whatever resources I have that I need to keep going. And that's what I did. And that's what I encourage people to do. It's like, you have to drag yourself out of bed. You have to try and get into a routine, because it does get better. You won't believe it, but it really will. And it's that perseverance. And I think I found an inner strength that I never knew I had.
Wow. Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Joe, for being here again and all the support you provide to NASCA and our family. Next, we're going to go to Bobby. I'm going to come to you right after the next. Yes, Bobby, so if you are muted and you want to come on, I'm going to bring our next panelist on, and Bobby from Florida, you'll be right after her. Next, we're bringing Penelope from Washington State on. Hello, Penelope. You're on with Tracy.
Hi. Oh, thank you, Charlie. Hi, Tracy. Wow.
Hi.
What an incredible story, and also just in terms of how you've really taken that pain and that awareness and the help that you've gotten and the journaling and writing the book into helping, really putting it forward. It's so inspiring.
Thank you.
And I had, I had, obviously I'm a member of NASCA, obviously I've had my own experience with domestic violence and child abuse. I've also experienced bullying in the workplace. And it sounds to me like
not pretty.
It's not, and it's different. I found it's different.
Yes, it is. Very different.
Yes. And so I'm following your timeline of your story, and it sounds like since you just retired that you still, after you were identified, obviously this bullying and the stress went on for a longer period of time and you identified it. I'm curious as to, because it sounds like you stayed in your profession until just recently, how you addressed it.
I didn't actually, but.
Okay.
So, it was August 2015 that I actually had what I called the massive nervous breakdown, the acute depressive episode, which plummeted me down the rabbit hole. And that was after 4.5 years of workplace bullying. And I never went back to that environment ever. My psychologist and my doctor would not let me. But I ended up going on short-term disability, and because for that, you have to remain as a nurse. I had to maintain my current registration and license, otherwise I was not entitled to any benefits. But as when I emerged from the rabbit hole and started what I call my new life journey, and I started giving talks and workshops, and I developed an online course, and after the book, and I started going for media appearances. It was only when in December of last year, that I thought, I know that I'm not going to return to hands-on nursing. And so that's when I decided to take early retirement, because I felt my life, I have no regrets about going down the rabbit hole. I tell people and they look at me like there's something wrong with me. It was a gift. I don't want to ever go through it again, but it was a gift because it enabled me to emerge with a much different perspective of what is more important in life. And it was meeting those teenagers when I ended up having 63 teenagers come and share with me in one day the stories of what they were going through, and they didn't even know me. I thought, I have to be their voice. It felt like, you know, with that light bulb moment of, you know, that is your goal. This is your new purpose. And so that's where I am now. I honestly, despite healing and feeling stronger and able to manage things, there's no way even today I could walk back into that environment. It was so toxic and poisonous. I know it would just start picking away at my soul.
Oh, I can completely resonate with everything you just said. And what really struck me, and especially with the age of 11 to 15, for me, I hear that and I think, wow, you know, because in terms of just depression and being a child, a victim of childhood abuse, to me, it's like it's a weight that builds on you over time,
over the years,
right? And it just builds and builds. And wow, if I had had someone like you come into my life at 11 years old, 12 years old, and I was able to be aware and identify these things and have someone like yourself who's walked in those shoes to help me identify, I wouldn't end up, you know, in the midpoint to later point of my career, right? Still in the cycle of bullying, but carrying the load to get me to the point where I collapse, right? So what you're doing it and getting to that age is such an amazing and wonderful. It's a work of love, and I just think it's incredible.
Thank you.
Truly.
It is. I mean, I was abused. And I thought I dealt with it. And it was only when I was in the rabbit hole that I realized I still had scars that were raw. And, you know, that introduced me to ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And then when you start putting the pieces together and you look and you see how everything is shaped in childhood, in adolescence, and how if we can help them when they're that age, what amazing futures they can have ahead of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what, you know, what you said also resonated with me. You don't realize how much you're carrying, you know, you just don't.
Yes.
It builds and builds. It's like, it's that creeping normal. It gets heavier and heavier, but you just adjust to that until, you know, and to be able to intercept that and, or build that awareness in a younger person, 11, they, you know, with those ACEs to be aware of them, you're right. You're just helping them not to have that evolution, right? Going through life.
Absolutely. And that's what NASCAR is doing, and that's what so many different – and that's the purpose of the podcast, right? It's to say we've got to – as adults, we need to stand up and we need to start helping these kids and give them the best chance they have.
Beautiful work. I just
have
the chills.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Hope you appreciate you. I am going to go to Bobby. Now, when you hear me talk about Bobby, sometimes Bobby has a lot of background noise. Unfortunately, I have a little myself tonight. My dog is bringing me this evening. So sometimes when Bobby does have excessive, he will mute his mic. So if we introduce him and he doesn't come on, it isn't that he doesn't want to speak. He's just being respectful. So Bobby's from Florida. Are you warm with us?
Hello.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello. Hello, Charlie. I'm so happy you welcomed me. I can just feel the camaraderie. Comes right through the phone.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know
Tracy,
you love Bobby. You're on with Tracy.
Tracy.
Hello.
I went on your website today and listened to your book 5 minutes with the moderator. And I saw your cartoons, you know, page by page book, chapter by chapter.
The illustrations, yes.
Very pretty book.
Yes.
Yeah, depression is it exudes this story that it's like plague going around the world. You know, it's something that you've that we hope you get a handle on it with many of your with a lot of your therapy. I might like the cartoons, and I'll try and find out more about the book.
Thank you. And actually, it was the illustrations that are in the book, which are also on the website, that resonated the most with kids, because it's very simple black and white illustrations, which conveys an emotion and how you're feeling without having to say anything. And that's what started the dialogue when I went to the school and met with the kids, when I put up all those illustrations behind me, because I had them enlarged, and immediately you could hear them saying, that's what I feel like. That's how my mum is. That's what my friend is going through. And that encouraged them to start opening up and asking questions. And I was honestly blown away.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Bobby, again, we really appreciate being here. Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time and looking at the book and sharing with your insights to it. Really neat. And you've encouraged me, Bobby, that I need to make sure when I'm going to have a special guest, I need to look into some things before bringing them on. So good lesson you taught me tonight, Bobby. I appreciate it. So, but it is really, that's a good thing to do. So, Bobby, thank you for that lesson. Next, we're going to go back. We're coming up to back to your country here, Tracy. We're going to go up to Katarina, who's in Canada. Here she is. Katarina, you are on.
Hi.
Katarina, are you there?
It's Canada. It takes a while.
Yeah, well, we're going to come, Katarina. Her mic may be having some problems. Let's go to Deborah Hunt in Arizona. Deb, you're on with Tracy. Deborah, you're on with Tracy.
Tracy, wow, what an amazing story.
Thank you.
I have not read your book yet, but I will. And
thank
you. There's so many things that are so integral to what you put into this book, which I know came invested out of every single part of your body. one of the things, I have a couple questions for you, if you sure. have a moment. But it's
absolutely.
When you say, you were talking about the depression, and because you didn't actually recognize that it was depression, but you knew it was depression. And that is something that everybody goes through, that you're like, I don't really feel okay right now, and I know I'm not me. And one of the things you said is you don't think we're really going to get through this, but we do. In your experience, do you think you really get through it, or do you think you really just deal with it and just have this positive mantra of getting through that?
I think because this particular depression was so unlike the two previous episodes that I'd experienced, and I was so overwhelmed with, like, the suicidal thoughts never left me. It was like it was daily. It was constant. I honestly never, even today when I relate my story, I feel it's surreal that I actually escaped the rabbit hole, because I was so deep, deep, deep down there.
Yeah.
I think what is important to note is that you don't 100% recover. Mm-hmm. It's a part of me. They finally yeah. diagnosed that it was a genetic component. It is a part of me. What I learned was that you can't let it define who you are. And that's what I'm trying to, encourage kids and everything. Okay, so you have OCD, you have anxiety, you have bipolar. Do not let it become who you are, because there's so much right. more to you. But it takes time. As I said, it took me a long time to get out of the rabbit hole, and I couldn't mm-hmm. understand why. And it eventually was that shift in mindset. Like, it was a year and a half, and I was doing everything. You know, I forced myself to get out of bed, and I had a routine which I adhered to by the book, because it enabled me to have control. But it also had, I didn't have that lull in time where I could perseverate on the negativity and decide to end my life. And even though I was doing all that and going to therapy and taking my pills, it was not progressing as I thought it would. And my doctor and my psychologist actually both said, and I would imagine they probably had a phone conversation, because I would go to my doctor in the morning and my psychologist in the afternoon. And my doctor had said to me, I said, I can't keep doing this. I'm exhausted. And she said, have you thought about expressing gratitude? And I went, yeah. Okay, whatever, thinking, how is that going to help me? And then, of course, I go to my psychologist, and it's a much longer session. And I'm there sitting there going, just give me a date. Just give me hope of something tangible I can yeah. grab onto, where I'm going to get better. And he would say, Tracy, I can't do that. You have so much that you have to heal. And he said, I think you need to change your mindset. He says, yes. You journal every day, he said, but everything is very dark. And he said, you need to start looking and expressing gratitude. And mm-hmm. I remember laughing and saying, what have I got to be grateful for? And he kind of looked right? at me and he said, you can breathe, you can walk, you got food, you got shelter, you got heat. And I went, okay. And he said, every time you journal, you need to write down 5 things you're grateful for and express gratitude. And right. I didn't get it. For 2 weeks, I went home and I said, I am grateful for running water. I'm grateful for a flushing toilet. But it was very monotonous. There wasn't thought behind it. And my light bulb moment, my aha moment, was on the day that I was supposed to follow up, because I was on 2 weekly, bi-weekly visits, I went mm-hmm. outside my home and I looked down, and it was winter and the snow had started to melt and a purple crocus had broken through the snow. And I looked at it and I thought, wow, brilliant color, beautiful. And all of a sudden, I felt this inner peace and a smile came on my face, and I thought, nature, spring, new growth. And it was like, oh my God, gratitude. And I went to see him and I said, I think I know what gratitude means. And he literally, when I told him, he literally jumped up out of his chair and he goes, you've got it. And I think that was my turning point. It was being mindful, being present in the moment. Instead of thinking, am I going to be better tomorrow or the next day or the next week? It was, yes, you're in
right
darkness.
Now.
You believe you're in hell. But if you look at the world that surrounds you, you will see good. And when that happened, that changed my perspective. And I didn't suddenly emerge from the rabbit hole, but it certainly helped. It gave me hope. And I found that like a month later, I wasn't just writing five things I was grateful for. It was like 10. And that's what kind of propelled me, because I suddenly realized that it's not all darkness. And that
right.
definitely aided, I believe, in my recovery. And even now, yes, when I have bad days, having chronic depression, I have really bad days. But it's got to the point where I give myself permission that I'm not, that, you know, I call it, it's okay not to be okay today. And to realize that there's still good in the world and that tomorrow is a different day. And I think that's what enabled me to get to the point where I am now. And that's what I try and reinforce with people, is that it's not going to be 100% awesome. That's life. But how you yeah. respond to it, and it's respond, not react, how you respond to it will enable you to still take control and embrace the good things.
That is so true. I love that you said that, because regardless of how you get through it, we all know that there's always going to be bad days, and people
yes.
who deal with depression, you have to, and you recognize it. One of the other questions that I had, and I know that, you know, the people who go through it and they understand each other.
Yes.
My question to you is, when you said that you want to break the gap, and that is a big thing for me that I'm trying to comprehend, and I would love to hear your perspective on this, is I know that mine came from my past. I know it comes
yes.
from my family.
Me too.
And
yes.
breaking that gap, and I try to break it with my children already. They're full grown. I have grandchildren, blah, blah, blah. But that when you went down that rabbit hole and then you realized it came from that gap,
yes.
how did you deal with it, and how did you even respond to go, okay, now I have to go, it really did come from my family, and it really, this is what I have to deal with? And how did you deal with your family in regards to that?
Well, the thing is, I actually had broken all ties with my family after my first episode of depression. And that's why I'd actually moved from the UK where I was born and moved to Canada on my own, because deep down, I knew that if I didn't move away, it would kill me. Because
yeah.
Sometimes there are families that just do not want to change. There's that unwillingness to accept any responsibility. And so it then comes to the other person who has to make that decision, live or die. And so I'd already broken with them, and I'd had therapy, and I thought I'd dealt with it. But then when I'm in the rabbit hole and I'm going through more counseling and we're going to the beginning, that's when I started to really understand what those adverse childhood experiences do to your brain. Like, we know, research shows, they change your brain. They, mm-hmm. you know, and it was then having to kind of go through it again and deal with it in a different way that enabled me to move forward. You have to get to a point of forgiveness, and lots of people always find that hard. It's not necessarily forgiving them for their actions. It's forgiving you and enabling you to move to a different place so you can continue the healing. And I think it was that awareness that suddenly in my 50s, I'm facing suicide and a depression, and I'm totally incapacitated. And it was based on things that happened to me from the age of 2 onwards. And it was like, oh my goodness, we know that kids today are going through way worse than what I ever went through as a child. We've got to start helping them. Otherwise, we have a future generation that are not going to be effective at all. They're going to be in so much pain. And so, yes, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to come on to NASCAR and talk about it, because we see everything is so connected. And people don't, I'm hoping more people understand what happens when you are growing up can shape the person you end up becoming, and the luggage that you carry with you. And the luggage gets heavier. It does not get lighter until you get to that point of, oh my goodness, I need to talk to someone and start getting help.
One of the other things, real quick, I know we have a good show going on. When you talked about summoning up the courage and having a safe place to open up, did that just happen here? Was it with friends and family or through NASCA? Or how did you find that safe place? Because I'm sure a lot of people want to find their safe place that are listening to the show. I think they want to hear that. And how did you find your safe place?
My safe place was actually my doctor and my psychologist, because everything happened at the same time. I had just been divorced. I was living on my own because of the workplace bullying. I was ostracized from my work colleagues. And so I was dealing with this just me. And my support system, and they were awesome, was my psychologist and my doctor. And they were the ones that built me up and supported me and encouraged me. And then when I started the blog, that's when friends who were in the health profession suddenly realized, oh my goodness, she's not okay. This is what she's going through. They were better able to help me and support me because of what I'd shared with them in my blog. But definitely, I think to anyone that's listening who's going through something or just feels that something is not right, they need to reach out. And if there's no one in their community, then they need to reach out to NASCAR or to a suicide hotline. There are so many people that actually get what you're going through. And I think that's what we need to understand, is that this is so uncommon. I don't want it to sound derogatory, but there are so many of us who are walking in your shoes, and by reaching out, you will feel so empowered and supported, and probably wonder why you didn't earlier. But everyone has different times when they need to reach out. But it's reaching out to somebody, absolutely.
And thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tracy. And I think it's so funny that you used the term rabbit hole, and it caught me real quick, because I used that in the first chapter of my book, that I was in a rabbit hole. And that was it.
I can so identify with you. Yes.
That was great. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Appreciate you being here, Deborah. Thank you very much. It looks like we're going to go make another attempt to get Katharina in here from Calgary. Katharina, you're on with Tracy.
Hey, can you guys hear me? Hey.
I can hear you.
Yes.
Oh. Hallelujah. Honestly, I was so eager to speak, and then I got cut off. Tracy, I am calling because I saw that you're from Canada, and I just had to call in. And
thank you.
I mean, your story is incredible. You're a real thriver and a real advocate, you know, for human rights, for the abused.
For kids, right. Yes.
Yeah, for kids' rights. I mean, you are the real advocate of a lived story. I'm sorry that you had to go through all that, but definitely society needs more people like you. Your therapist sounds amazing. I mean, my God, I wish I had a therapist like that. Yeah, because in my own journey, it's been really difficult to find a person that listened.
Yes.
And I've been reaching out everywhere and anywhere. And there are tons of non-for-profits, as you know, in Canada.
Yes.
But lots of wolves and sheep's clothing.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, it takes a lot of intuition and listening to your gut to find that person that you mesh
yes.
with who's actually going to pull you out. I'm glad you found that.
Thank you.
I'm just in awe, and I will definitely check out your book and your podcast.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
No, thank you for your support. And I think it's awesome that NASCAR has such a huge family because, you know, especially now during this time where we're all isolating and social distancing more than ever, we have to pull on people online that can share and understand what we're going through. And that makes us feel, I think, a little bit less alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always say it, but NASCAR is my counseling in a way.
It is your family. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, Catherine,
yeah.
We are sure glad you were able to get back on and get in loud and clear. I always enjoy having you on our panel. And Tracy, Catherine, and fairly often our lone Canada member on our panels, but she does come on and always has really great insight and things to share. So, Kathleen, I'm glad you were able to get back on and
absolutely.
Be able to be heard.
Thank you.
Well, that gives us our first round of our panel. And believe it or not, we talk about an hour and a half with these shows, and it sounds like such a long time before we start. And then we get rolling, and next thing you know, you got a half hour left. But we are down to a half hour. I do want to encourage, if someone out there may be listening right now that wants to call in, well, you know what? I'm encouraging you. Go ahead and make that call. You want to dial 646-595-2118. Again, the guest call-in line to be able to be a member of our panel and actually directly interact with Tracy Maxfield is 646-595-2118. Tracy, let's go. Where do you want to go next? I mean, there's so many things you're doing. I'm seeing here. Are you going to different schools? How are you contacting the children that you're working with? Do you have leads to that to get you there, or what?
So of course now nothing is happening because everyone is on self or mandatory isolation. But usually it's invitations to schools to go and talk or to participate in workshops, and I think that the challenge is that there are still many schools in Canada and in the United States and actually in the United Kingdom, because I was in the UK last year as well, that are still struggling to understand how abuse and neglect and other issues impact the child in the classroom, and they put it down to attention seeking or behavioral issues and don't give them that opportunity to have that safe space to talk with what's going on. And I feel that we're so doing the child a disservice. And so just like NASCAR's doing, I'm doing it in a slightly different way, but it's trying to get people to understand that the earlier we help kids, the earlier we are there as that support, that guiding force, we're giving them so much hope for the future, and we will help them develop them into well-rounded, compassionate people to go into adulthood. And it's kind of like that paying it forward, because they then help other people. And that's a struggle. I would say that's one of my brick walls, is there's so many schools that just say, oh, we don't have a problem here. He's just difficult. And you're like, why is he difficult? I think I want people to get back to that, asking themselves, well, why is that child doing that?
Right. Absolutely.
You know, and unfortunately, and I think what's scary is now that we're all dealing with this pandemic, child abuse has actually escalated because there is now no safe haven for that child to go. And I think that's when we, as members of the public, of the community, need to step up and watch out, to check on, to be just more vigilant to what is going on in the home next to you, right, in the street, in the apartment, because kids, who are they expected to turn to right now if they can't go to school and confide in a teacher or a counselor?
Couldn't have said it better myself. I was that child many, many years ago. School was my safe haven, school was my escape. And you're right. Right now, I've been watching the staggering numbers of abuse and domestic violence and things like that are rising up in the midst of all this. That again, very few, if any, are even saying anything about. And the children's voices are. I used to work with a young lady out of England. Children are screaming to be heard. She and yet. Very few are listening. But there are those of us, you, myself, many, Bill Murray, many of us in the NASA family that aren't just listening. We're doing something about it. So thank you for what you're doing and giving children hope and adults hope and understanding that, you know, this too shall pass. And at the same time, knowing that you're not alone in all this. So it is a tough time in the entire world right now with this COVID and everything that's going on.
It certainly is, and I applaud NASCAR because you're on 5 days a week, every single night at the same time, and that's what's so important, because I don't believe there's any one person that can change everything. We all have to do this together, and to be there to help. You know, the adult who's going through domestic violence, the child who's witnessing it, the child who's being abused. I believe we all have a role to play. And now more than ever, I think we have to be very cognizant of what's going on and what can we do to help that person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you mentioned it is very important that, you know, neighbors, friends, people, I mean, I lived in row homes in Philadelphia. You know the neighbors next door heard what was going on, yet very few wanted to get involved. And children are innocent victims to the adults, and many of our states in the United States right now, it's a bit scratching your head. They're selling, making sure they call liquor an essential business to be open so they can sell more alcohol to make more tax money. But liquor is not the answer. It's actually, we know it to be detrimental.
Not at all, and that's the problem. We're still skewed in that, and it's funny. I was a child of the early 60s, and now that I have spoken to people that were around during my childhood, every single person, even a friend that I reconnected with that I knew from the age of 2, said to me, everyone knew what I was going through. Everyone knew there was a problem, but no one wanted to say anything. And he's the same age as me now. I'm 56. And he to me when I was in Britain last year and said, I'm so sorry I didn't do anything. And I looked at him and I said, you were the same age as me. The adults weren't doing anything. How could you have done something? You know, I mean, but people know, you know, and that's the issue, is that people know what's going on. They hear things. They see things. They see, you know, how the kids are dressed, their body language, how they interact. They hear the shouts. And it's like, you really should not be turning up your radio and saying, that's their problem. I don't want to get involved. I think now more than ever, there are ways of doing it. You can, you know, you can call the child abuse hotline. You can ask the police to stop by and do a wellness check. There are so many ways that you can start that ball rolling to try and save that life, because that's what it comes down to. You could be saving that kid's life.
Absolutely. You could do something as simple as knock on the door don't make any accusations. Just say, hey, I was stopping over to say hello. And they don't have to know you know anything. And it just breaks that moment. I mean, I know I've been in grocery stores where I see children acting up in maybe the candy or the cereal aisle. And you start seeing an adult, you assume it's a parent, but we don't know for certain. We know it's an adult with a child, begin to get a little uptight and start grabbing at the child. And I'll go over and I'll find a way to interrupt the energy that's going between the child and the adult. I mean, I'll do silly things like drop a bag of candy on the floor or knock a box of cereal on the floor and then go to pick it up and say, oh, it sounds like you're having a rough day, and then start breaking that cycle. And I've heard neighbors in the past with children hollering inside, and I go and I don't knock on the door and say, you're abusing your kids. I just knock on the door and say, hey, how you doing? Just stopping by to say hello. You got a minute? And then beginning a conversation. Sometimes that's all it takes. Other times it doesn't work, but you know what? It's better than doing nothing and sitting back. Or like you said, turning up the volume on something.
No, I agree. And in my outros for some of my podcasts, when I've been discussing what kids could be going through at home, and I'm encouraging them to, you know what, just knock on the door, maintain social distance and say, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you need me to pick up a few things? And just have that dialogue and try and get a sense of what is going on. And then if you have real concerns, then follow through and act on it. But to me, it costs nothing. And we don't know. We always compare ourselves to other people and we want to be better and brighter and richer and have more possessions. But on the same hand, behind those closed doors, there could be horrendous neglect and abuse going on. And that's unacceptable. And I feel that just as a human being with some compassion, we do not want to see anyone being harmed and hurt and locked away with no food. And it's how in good conscience can you then continue your day knowing something was going on and didn't act until it was too late. And so I think we have to become more of a community. We have to stop this. Everyone is entitled to their privacy, and I don't know my neighbors. I think we need to become a little bit more involved, and hopefully that will change how things are.
I couldn't agree with you more. I do want to it's been a little while since we actually had the last round. We actually ended with the panel, but believe it or not, it was about a little over 30 minutes ago, 35 minutes ago, that we had the last round of the panel begin. So if it's okay with you, we have about 20 minutes left. I want to bring each panel member on for another round. I do ask our panelists to keep it a little bit short. In respect to the other panelists, give them an opportunity to get it on. I was more directing that towards our panelists than you, Tracy. This is your show tonight. Whatever you want to talk about and get out, we'll make happen. So let's get Bill back on, our founder and my trailer tonight, my co-host. Bill, you're back on with Tracy.
Yeah, I'm very grateful, Charlie and Tracy, for this show. Tracy does a wonderful job, and I'm really glad we were able to get her back on. She's been a member of the NASCA family for some time, but, some members aren't as well known as others. And I want people to know the kind of work she does. She deserves some special recognition. So I'll keep it short by saying good night and God bless to both of you, but I'll stay on the show till the end, but I don't need to speak anymore. Thanks so much, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill.
And of course,
thank you,
Tracy. You bet.
Thank you so much.
Bill, as always, brother, I love you to life, and that's for real. And Christina, the matriarch of our NASCA family, you're loved to life as well, and welcome to 21 years old. All right. So next we're going to go to Joe from Oregon. Joe, you're back on with Tracy.
Hi, Joe.
Thank you. Hi. Just two quick things. One is when you mentioned the crocus coming up out of the snow, it reminded me of when I was when everything was black and white and gray, and I saw this one rose, and that was
awesome.
The start of my color returning. So I just wanted to thank you for that image. And I learned a new term today, so I'm into sharing. It's called willful blindness. Someone wants to live in a pretty world and doesn't want their world upset, then they just don't see. And I call that, I also call that rose-colored glasses. But
that's right.
That's how all the first responders, the mandatory reporters, they just don't see it because they don't want to mess up their world. And I just love how you're saying that, you know, just go in, knock on the door, just say something, and don't just, you know, turn up the volume. And I love that, and I love what you teach, and you are great at it. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And you're absolutely right. We need to stop the willful blindness. We really need to take off our glasses. And, you know, it could come down to the difference of saving a child's life. That's our reality. And be that person. I always end my podcast with saying, be that person that makes a difference.
Ooh, I like it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Majo, thank you so much once again. I appreciate you being here this evening. Bobby from Florida, we're going to bring you on next. Bobby from Florida, you're coming on right now. Welcome back.
Hi,
welcome
Bobby.
Back on the show with Tracy, Bobby.
What's the best thing to say, Charlie?
Whatever's on your heart, say, Bobby.
The state of depression is something that that many of us go through.
Yes.
At a minute's time sometimes.
It's
so we're never far from depression from the next moment. Anyone.
I hear what you're saying, absolutely. And I think what's important is that people know that they are not alone and that they need to keep going, because everyone has a gift, and I believe everyone needs to be valued and heard and has a contribution to this world. And that through the darkness, I believe there is chinks of light, and I think that's what we have to grab hold of. And sometimes the chinks of light are very small, and other days they're a lot brighter. But it's a battle. 100% hear you. 100%.
Well, Bobby, thank you so much, and it's always a pleasure to have you on our panel, and truly appreciate your input tonight, Bobby. And I appreciate the important lesson you taught me earlier, and I'm definitely going to be adding that to my repertoire for before getting on the show with a special guest or something like this. So thanks, Bobby. I appreciate you. I love you, brother. Next,
thank
we're going to move
Bobby.
On to Penelope. Up.
Hi, Penelope.
Next, we're going to move on to Penelope. Up. Penelope, you are on with Tracy.
Thanks, Charlie. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
I know we're in the lightning round. I won't monopolize too much of the time that's left, but I want to thank you for also letting us know about, you know, your interaction and decision with your family of origin. And I know that I can resonate for a lot of us how some people don't want to name the truth, face the truth, and some people don't change. And just the experience of, you know, you put yourself out there to be re-victimized every time, you know, you go home. And the language is the same. So, you know, I want to thank you for sharing that. And, you know, in how you've handled that, right, not you don't accept or condone the mindset or behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot of self-love in giving yourself permission to feel those feelings and to forgive.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's what enables you to go move to that healthy place.
Absolutely.
We know, right? We cannot control what other people say, do, or think, but we can control how we respond. And our lives are just as valuable. And you have to get to that point where you value yourself. You put yourself first, because that's when you're better able to help other people.
Exactly. And you can only control what you can control. And I think talking about forgiveness and acknowledging that you're not condoning their behavior, you're forgiving it. You're also, in a way, releasing that shame, right, that you've always felt from.
Absolutely.
I feel like there's a release of shame as well. And that resonated with me when you shared your story.
Thank you.
So I just want to thank you for that. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And thank you, Penelope. I appreciate you being on again on our panel and your input. Next, we're off to Deborah in Arizona. Deborah, you're back on with Tracy.
Hey, Deborah.
Tracy. Hi, Tracy. Thank you so much. I just want to kind of sidekick of what just Joe just said is just about how you came up with all this and how you came out with all this. And you yourself said you had to summon up the courage and have a safe place to open up and find the potential in yourself.
Yes.
One thing that I do want to thank you for is something that you said earlier is that you have no regrets going down that rabbit hole. And either do I. And I think that's something that you have to accomplish when you get there. And I just wanted to hear your response, your last response is in regards to going down that rabbit hole and how it helped you, even though it hurt you going through it. How did it help you? I know how it helped me, but I want to hear how it helped you.
It helped me. Because I had to lay my soul bare thing in my past. And what it did, it enabled me, I think, to discover my true self and apologize and accept my challenges and my, not weaknesses, but my faults and my role in things. But also it enabled me to realize who I really was and what it was that I wanted out of life. And I keep saying, with the gratitude, it enabled me to appreciate that it's not riches and materialistic things and acquisition of wealth that is important. I appreciated the simple things that, you know, a stranger holding a door open and saying hello meant so much to me. It was that acknowledgement of you as a human being, as a person. Someone paying a compliment, buying a free cup of coffee. It was those little things that made me feel that I was valued. And that enabled me to do more self-care, to understand that, yes, I needed to be in this world and that what I've learned, the compassion, the understanding, I had it as a nurse, but I don't think I truly got it until I was facing my own death multiple times and realizing that I had things that I could offer someone. And that's why I call it a new life purpose, a new life journey. It gave me an opportunity to become a better version of who I ever thought I could be. And that's why it, to me, it's a gift.
I agree. And I greatly appreciate that. And I'm so glad I was here tonight. And thank you so much for being on here.
Thank you so much,
Deborah. Being a part of the NAFTA family. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. It's good to hear you back out here. Deborah, we look forward to you being back out again very soon. Take care and be blessed. Well, we're heading back to Canada, and we're going to get Katharina back
Canada.
On. Katharina, you're back on the trip.
Hi.
Hey, Tracy. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, no, some valid points. If you see someone in distress, definitely try and check up and see what's going on. But, you know, it does bring another point that institutional abuse is also real and it exists.
Yes. Yes.
And so all those places you call the children's hotline. Of course, there's instances where you have to absolutely call, but
yes.
I believe that there needs to be more trauma-informed care.
Yes.
At the hotlines, at the police force, at the social workers organizations, and at non-for-profits and foster homes. You know, because abuse, it is translated to foster homes and things like that.
100%.
And, yeah. Yeah, and these kids are vulnerable, and even more so at the hands of someone else, another abuser. But definitely valid points. And thank you for sharing. I think you're going to move mountains with your work. I'm going to be tuning into your podcast. If you could just remind us again what it's called, it would be lovely. But otherwise, thank you for being on here.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
awesome. What a great title.
Thank you. And if you don't cut, I mean, obviously tomorrow when I post Bill's, I'll be sharing it on NASCA, as will Bill. But if you go to my website, the podcast is also carried there. But yes, I mean, the aim is, it is for kids, period. It is to try and create awareness amongst everyone that what our kids are going through is so harsh and horrible and scary. And we all have a little bit that we can do to help make it a better place for them. We all do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being the beacon of light for us all and for kids.
Thank you so much.
Chetanina, thank you. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left, roughly. Tracy, and I want to give you that time to share whatever it is. And I'm going to invite you. I close out every one of the shows that I'm host on with something that I think is going to resonate with you. And I would stay on after, as we close out the show tonight. You can hear that. But why don't you take the next few minutes and share whatever's on your heart to put out there as we close out this evening's show. And thank you for being such a gracious and wonderful and interacting guest. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. So what I would like to say is, to anyone who's listening, even if you don't have kids or your kids are grown up, we all, I believe, can have a positive influence, a positive effect on the life of a child, a teenager, a young adult. Everyone needs a friend, a trusted adult, a beacon of light, that guiding force, that mentor. Sometimes we know parents and family members are not able to do that for whatever reason, good or bad. But if you're the neighbor, if you're the school coach, if you're the friend down the road, if you're the guy who mows his lawn and the kid passes by every day, just reach out and be kind. Kindness costs nothing, and you could be opening the door to something that will be so rewarding for you. It's a gift. It would be, and you could be helping a child who's going through such unimaginable horrors that he or she does not even know who to reach out to. Be that person, be that trusted adult. I believe if we had more of those in the world, I think we'd be keeping one step ahead of all the abuse and horrors that our children and teenagers are subjected to. And be that person that can make the difference. I think that's the most important thing. Every single person has the ability to make a difference.
I could not agree with you more. And as I said, you're going in a moment to hear how I end our show. But you know what? I want to get all of our panelists, I'm going to fire up everybody's mic. I want everybody to give a fond farewell, hand clap, shout out to our amazing guest tonight, Tracy. So all mics are opening. Everybody give Tracy a fond farewell. Even the doggies jump in saying goodnight.
Hey! And I say kudos to you, Tracy.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Hey,
thank you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, and kudos to you.
Thank you.
Come back
to
on.
You all. Because you're all making a difference. You absolutely are. And I consider you all earth angels, and we need way more of them.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy. And thank you, my panel, for coming in there. Once again, a happy anniversary of the day you were born to Christina Murray. And as I close out this evening show, I will say, as I do every show that I close out, the only adult not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult who themselves was never a child. Good night, God bless, and thank you for being here.
I know tomorrow.
Blog Talk Radio.